This podcast is a part of the Newhoff Media Podcast Network.
Man, it is a beautiful morning here in downtown Decatur. Sun is shining and we are ready to go. We have a lot to get to here today. Graduations everywhere over the weekend. I know the Millikan commencement was yesterday. Eisenhower High School, Mount Zion. I mean, there were several going on over the weekend. We had the Mega Raffle winners on Friday night. PGA Championship with a crazy ending yesterday in Tulsa, Oklahoma. We'll get to that today. And just incredible, cool things going on all across the land. So to all of those who spent any time in a cap and gown over the weekend, congratulations. Graduations are an interesting thing to go to, meaning that it's one of the few things that you attend in a community where everybody is there for their own individual reason, but we're there in mass and you see everything.
Oh, absolutely.
I love going to the graduation party that we attended with you on Friday night, because I haven't been to a graduation in about 4 years. And it reminded me of all my kids' graduations and all that.
So you're
I love graduations.
You're in that time loop, right, where your kids are all out. Grandkids aren't old enough.
Starting to come back around.
And you go and you just sit there with a gymnasium or wherever it might be, full of people from all walks of life, all there to celebrate their individual person. And people do it in the graduation dress code, the window. I don't even know what it is.
Well, they're wearing gowns. So you're talking about for the parents.
I'm talking about for everybody else.
Yeah.
It's all over the place. I mean, there used to be sort of like if you go to church on Sunday or you'd go to a business meeting, there was a certain sort of like.
Yeah, nice casual.
Well, code. And for graduation, it is all over the place, as is the behavior. I got to tell you that maybe this may be a wedding, a graduation. There's probably several categories where the late arrivers are the most annoying people in the world. People that can't get there on time.
Why is that here? What is disruptive about it here more so than anywhere else?
Well, because if you pick out your seats, and we were at Eisenhower's graduation at 2 o'clock on Saturday. They opened the doors at 1 p.m. Now everybody's standing out in the rain. There's a line, but not really a line because we can't do this as people. We can't manage our own. It's like Survivor or whatever. You get there. There's a portico at the back of the gym where you are undercover from the rain, and it could have held a lot of people, but the people couldn't naturally form a line on their own without those Disney gates. It was all over the place. And we got there at 1 o'clock. We wanted to get good seats for when the doors opened, sort of pick your seat. It was tough to get the tickets. I mean, we got, I think, a total of 5 tickets. And when you have an extended family, you know, that's not a lot. I mean, you're not getting a lot of people in there. And they probably could have given out more because it wasn't all the way full by the time it all started. But you get in, you get situated, you get seated. The band's playing. We got a family right to the right of us. The guy's on the phone during the graduation giving people directions about where they are in the gym. Like once it's already started. And you got people crawling over you. I mean, the graduation starts at 2. You have to be there at 1. But 2:15, isn't it?
Well, actually, on an event like that, you should start getting there about a half hour early.
Well, I'm not even saying early. I'm just saying once it's started, you still shouldn't be crawling over
or
people.
Do the, hey, I'm late. I'm going to tuck into the back of the gym and let this, wait for a lull or something.
I'm late, and I'm on the phone with the guy, to the right of us, and he's going, sorry. Yeah, we're over here, once it's rolling.
Yeah, that's not cool.
No. We have a time problem in this country. I have always been a guy who shows up at something early, if not right on time. And there are people, in your life that are late arrivers.
Yeah, I get accused for being a late arriver.
I don't think you're a late arriver.
But I'm not anymore. When I was busier, I might be 5 minutes late. But I try to cram too much into too short a time. But it's not because I want to be late. As a matter of fact, I don't like being late. And some people, I think, don't care.
There are people that are just perpetually late to everything, always running behind. And anyway, and then you just sort of look around and you get like just a, I mean, it's like, oh, that's an interesting outfit. I like it. It's sort of like just the planet Earth all crammed into one gym. So Friday night, big thank you to Todd and Angie Mason and the folks at the beach house.
Oh, what a nice night.
You know, they do such a great job there.
What about the decorations?
Well, that was all Lindsay. She gets a Mom of the Year award under the graduation category. Thanks to you and Nick and Sue and Jen and everybody who came out Friday night. I thought it was a lot of fun.
Big family.
Huh?
You got a big family.
Yes. Well, there are a lot of sides.
Well, they all showed up. It was impressive. And fun.
It was a nice evening. And I wanted
you still call him Little Man, or can we mention by name?
Well, you know, here's the crazy thing. I remember getting a piece of hate mail one time, or an email, or some sort of correspondence saying, you know, how dare you, you know, what an insult, you call him Little Man. It's like, yeah, it's because of you writing this very thing.
Well, he's tall, man,
now. Well, no, over the years, when a kid's 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13 years old, you don't want to bring them into this thing that we do because there's just idiotic people that are really horrible in life that do mean things, and it's not the kid's fault.
I understand.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, yeah. So it was like more of a reference to a nickname for him, but more importantly, to the people writing the insulting email about calling him Little Man, what are you going to do if I call him by name? And so there was a reluctance over the years on my behalf of doing that. Not that it was sort of, I don't know, people take it however they want to take it. I know what the intent was.
Well, it's funny because I know him and I call him by his real name, but I can't get that Little Man out of my head. Just like Bojangles. Every time I see that young man, I think Bojangles instead of his name. And it's funny. They're cute names, and it's too bad you have to do that. But he's one impressive young man. I saw pictures of him playing the trumpet during the graduation. You should be very proud.
Oh, we are very proud. And Zane, which is, by the way, his name, is now an official a graduate and a full-blown adult. Yeah, the band is interesting because, you know, they came in and they were playing sort of the, if you were there, not the family to the right of us, wouldn't have seen any of this because they didn't get there until 15 minutes after it started. But they play all the introductory music, and then the seniors have to leave, and then they kind of fill in with whoever to play the processional for them to come in.
Is there a little quality drop-off?
Quite a bit.
It happens.
Well, you know, they're just, the processional's okay. Yeah. They were doing the Star Trek theme.
Nice.
I noticed. But no, he graduated magna cum laude and Gold Delta. Which was fantastic, you know, even with a very tough junior year of being home the entire year and not spending one day at high school. So we're all very proud.
Do high school students get cords for cum laude?
They had the, I was trying to think exactly. He had the silver, whatever it's called, stole, I think that is the official language for the magna cum laude. And then he had the gold
sash
for the Gold Delta.
Nice.
And then they have medals they do now. I think that's new, or at least it was new for me.
Take it after like the Filipino army and stuff where you have them all over
no,
the
like,
chest.
Like a, no, oh, like, yeah, yeah. Like an actual medal. Yeah.
I've seen faculty wear medals. I didn't know that students are now getting them, but I guess, you know, the only way faculty get them is when they were a student and they got them. So
yeah.
I knew they did that in college. I'm glad they do it in high school.
Yeah, a lot of that stuff available for purchase, too.
All of it. This is such an industry.
Just an opportunity.
Yeah, you get your gown, and you get your mortar, your cap, and then you can buy all of, you get the ones you're going to use, and then you can buy an extra.
That's exactly right.
Yeah. I noticed out front of the Decatur Civic Center for the Richland graduation, there was a tent set up and a company that comes in, it's because it's not Richland, I asked, selling all the merch.
They came a long way from a open U-Haul out the front of the Civic Center to trust that everybody just throws it in the back on their way out.
Well, it was busy.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, because, you know, parents and kids, what an industry. I don't know. I don't mind that. That's sort of capitalism at its best.
Sure.
Yeah. I was very impressed on Saturday. I got to throw out a shout out to Isabella Tate, who gave the summa cum laude speech. She was supposed to, her and her brother were on the list to go to us to Africa 2 years ago when COVID did its thing, and we had to cancel that trip. We were heading over there with the Ag Academy and the kids. She did a really nice job giving her speech. You know, that's not an easy thing to do at any age. It might be easier at 18 than it is at 50. Crazy as that sounds, but she did a really nice job.
You really got to admire these kids. And I heard about some of the awards that you gave out last week on the radio. A couple of St. Teresa kids won. These kids are impressive. You know, they get a lot of criticism for not being, as industrious as maybe another generation, but I don't buy that. I think some of them are really.
I absolutely do. And then, among other things, Skyler, who was on the program with us at the DPS Spotlight a week or two ago, did God Bless America. And I got to throw it out. We've had Ron Liebarger with us on the radio here today. He's a teacher at Eisenhower. He did, I think once they got through the honors kids, he did all of the announcing of the graduates coming to the stage. And he threw out this big time announcer voice.
Oh, that's cool.
I mean, like a Michael, who's the
Buffer?
Guy? Buffer, like voice.
Nice.
Is that the guy that says, let's get ready to rumble?
Yeah. Yeah, but Ryle Ivers is a huge dude, you know, big weightlifter. And he was up there, and it was crazy because he would like do all of like the enunciation, you know, of every syllable.
Well, that's great.
That's an important job to get all the names right.
Yeah, but it sounded something like Camila Michelle Bigger.
Yeah, nice.
Like the whole place we go up.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was fun.
Hey, what instrument was God Bless America, since there was 15 that it could have been?
What do you mean? She sang. Or he sang.
Sang?
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Oh, no, it was a vocal.
Another talent.
Well, I'm sorry. I thought God Bless America.
It could have been like a trumpet solo or something.
No, it was a vocal solo. So anyway, I saw Mount Zion, had theirs yesterday, and then my niece graduated from Millikan on Sunday. They had their big commencement, which I'm glad they had nice weather as well. So it's just been a fun couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's fun to watch you go through this cycle because it's a part of life. You know, graduations are huge milestones. Congratulations to you and Lindsay.
All right. Well, Lindsay, more than she did all the work on the party, and she was very tearful on Saturday. I mean, I knew it was going to like hit her, and it hit her again. What was funny is like I had to park. I don't know if you've ever been to Eisenhower High School. There's not a lot of parking, and then the Brain Trust there had all the kids show up for like they had to be there early, so they all drove their own cars, which filled up like the entire parking lot.
Look like a school day.
Yeah. So the overflow parking, I mean, I don't even know where everybody parked,
down
to be honest with
those
you.
Side streets.
Well, no, there's a small parking lot that used to be where the tennis courts and stuff were years ago. And there's that grade school. They're demolishing that grade school, by the way, that's down there back behind Eisenhower. So I had to, like, in the rain, drop her off and park way out in the back 40. And when we were leaving, you know, she'd already, she broke down, you know, like during the ceremony and when they called his name and all that. And then when we got up to the parking lot, she starts blubbering. And I'm like, and evidently that's where band used to practice.
Oh.
So the parking lot had memories.
Oh, she did a little sad tour.
She did.
You know what I think is a little irreverent is the screaming and yelling.
I don't know. Graduations aren't a funeral. You know, for my entire life, people have always like tried to sort of control the crowd and only, you know, applaud, but you know, with short applause and people are excited, right? I mean, at the end of the day, I'd rather have that than everybody sitting on their thumbs.
Yeah. 12 years of work. I got, and I've got to be quiet about it.
Yeah.
I'm fine with it. And it becomes a competition, but
yeah, that's the thing. Is, who can yell louder?
Human nature fills in the gaps. So if somebody isn't getting the cheers, somebody will volunteer to cheer for them.
They're just excited.
Yeah.
Right. I remember, when I graduated 100 years ago from high school, we had friends. We had a pretty good large group of friends. And some of them went to Mount Zion. Some of them went to St. Teresa. And some of them went to Eisenhower. And so we went to all three, you know, graduations to support our friends. And we got kicked out of the Mount Zion graduation.
For being rowdy?
Yes. And they announced on our way out, I'll never forget this. You could hear the, sort of the loudspeaker, and these people are not from Mount Zion.
Well, now I understand why you supported. You were one of them.
No, I'm just saying. Why would you not want to be against the people who say those people are not from Mount Zion?
See, look, people, this is how, cheering is such a bad thing. Use them as an example of what not to do.
Exactly. And I was sitting there, from the stage, at the Richland graduation a week or so ago. Dr. Z got up there and got everybody all fired up. I mean, why not celebrate?
I'm with it.
Yeah. Just don't be late.
Every one of them does at the very beginning, at the outset, please hold applause to all everyone's done.
I know. And it's just that is, as a public speaker and somebody who's been around crowds, for 26 years, that is a fruitless endeavor. You're never going to get that to happen.
Nope.
That's okay. I don't think so either.
No, I mean, so go with it. Roll with it. That's all I'm saying.
It used to be funny when it was occasionally, but it's a competition, like you say now. I kind of think it ruins the decorum a little bit. It is a pretty much of an honor, but that's all right.
I don't know.
I wouldn't die on that hill.
By the way, here's the hill I will die on. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. Maybe, Nick, I don't know about you. Kevin, I don't know about you. As we get back into life, right? As we get back into crowds and we get back into like going to things and doing all the things that we enjoy doing, the Devon Theater or Lakeshore Amphitheater opened this weekend. I know the Jersey Tenors concert got canceled, but the Mummies was on Friday. As we go about our lives, are you more and more annoyed by the personal space guy? Like, you haven't dealt with him for like 2.5 years.
Oh,
getting too close.
Splitting the armrest or whatever.
No. I mean, the guy, Friday night, we were at the beach house, and I won't name any names, but there was a guy I hadn't seen in a long time, and he wasn't there my side of things, but some other else. And he just got in my grill, like not in a mean way, just wanted to talk. And I'd step back and he would fill that space. And then I would step back and then he would fill that space. I mean, I literally took 3 steps back and he took 3 steps forward, like instantly.
I can relate to that. I haven't had that happen since the comeback, but we did share a row of chairs with some people that have been smoking for the last 40 years and went outside to, I said, excuse me, we're going to go grab a quick smoke. We're like, you got enough on you. I promise. You don't need to reload. That I didn't miss. I've not missed that.
Yeah.
And no offense to smokers. It's just
it's like a total Seinfeld plot, right?
Yeah,
the big
much.
Hands or the close talker or whatever. And close talker, dude, pandemic.
That's a personal characteristic that I don't think you're going to change in a person.
What causes
that?
They just
don't understand that they're doing it. And I know exactly what you're talking about. That's very annoying. And you do. You kept, and I don't think it has, for me, it doesn't have, even if there wasn't a pandemic, I can't stand
it. Oh, it was annoying before. But right. Now it's like, how could you go through all of this and not be situationally aware at all?
I think they think they're
being
accentuating their point of view of whatever they're talking about by getting closer to you so you can hear it better. I don't understand.
I wish you had a sound effect every time they get close. It was like, boing, boing, boing. and they'd figure it out after about 2 that, hey, every time I step forward, I get the cartoon spring.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. That's a good idea. Maybe I'll just, if I can get that on my phone. All right. Anyway, kudos to Mom of the Year. Lindsay did an amazing job, and it was a great weekend. And congratulations to all of the graduates out there. I know we've had a number of high school graduations, Milliken on Sunday. And what a fun time it's been.
It's got to be a wrap, right?
That's I think everybody's done now, right?
In this area, you would think at this point, and maybe one more weekend, but everyone that I know of is done.
Yeah. Oh, and off to the next chapter of their life.
Yeah, teachers, get your grades in. Yeah.
And what is it about the people not being able to form a line? I mean, you would think this was basic education, and this is the adults. There, if you go back behind Eisenhower, right, where the gymnasium is, and that gymnasium's huge. It's twice the size of when I was there. But there's this large portico kind of thing where you're undercover, a big sort of rectangle, and it's like 70% of the space wasn't being used because nobody could form a line.
That's because the line has been blurred. If you've ever been in line, and I'm a professional line beer inner, I promise you, what'll happen is if you put all your eggs in one basket, a lot of times they'll open up another lane or, you know, blah, blah, blah. So people just play the field and then shuffle when they see opportunity. So
yeah, but if you go to Las Vegas, if you go to Disney World, if you go to anywhere, well, why is it different?
Because they structure it in such a way that it is clear what's going to happen. You go to a football game, a basketball, whatever, or even like Black Friday, there's going to be something happening. Walmart, McDonald's, two lanes. You got to play the hand. You got to play both fields.
Okay. I ran into an awkward experience at a restaurant. Where you had to pay, you know, you pay at the register to leave. And there were four of us standing there, no line. We just kind of did a half moon around the register waiting to pay because there was no one there checking people out. And a fifth person came up, walked right in front of us, and stood right in front of us to go first. I was fourth in line. There was the other two and our other three. And we all looked at each other. And I finally just said, excuse me, sir, but this is a line. And he looked at us and goes, oh, sorry. We didn't look like a line.
No, you know, that's the thing. And people were doing that on Saturday. And it's like, wait a minute. If I just landed here as a Martian, you know, what exactly would I know looking at this? You guys are standing in clusters. Nobody is in a line.
Face that way. Get in there when you can.
Right. And I'm okay with survival of the fittest.
That's what you were doing.
But then you had people going, well, you're jumping the line. It's like, there is no line. That's to your point at the restaurant. All right, we'll take a break for news. We got a lot to get to here today. Action-packed Monday. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to the Monday edition of Byers & Company. Stay tuned.
Fox News, I'm Chris Foster. President Biden says the United States would intervene militarily if China invades Taiwan, considered a province by the Chinese government.
The idea that it could be taken by force, just taken by force, is just not appropriate. It will dislocate the entire region.
The president in Japan, U.S. policy has been to provide Taiwan with the means to defend itself. The president also announced a new trade partnership with 12 countries in the region. The first Russian soldier charged with war crimes in Ukraine is sentenced to life in prison for killing an unarmed civilian. And an immigration policy of former President Trump was going to end today.
A federal judge in Louisiana Friday stopped the Biden administration from lifting Title 42 public health protections that, had it expired, would have opened gates for tens of thousands of migrants to claim asylum after illegally crossing the border starting today.
Fox's Evan Brown. America's listening to Fox News.
Judge Rodney Forbes, trusted, proven, experienced. Judge Rodney Forbes grew up and has worked his entire life in Macon County. Republican Judge Rodney Forbes now needs your vote. He's running for Macon County Circuit Judge and is the only candidate with proven courtroom experience on the bench. Judge Rodney Forbes, the best choice for Macon County Circuit Judge.
I'm Judge Rodney Forbes, and I approve this message.
Paid for by the committee to elect Judge Forbes.
It's time to play Trump or Consequences. Ready, Jill?
Let's go.
Thinking about Mary Miller and Rodney Davis in the race for Congress, who did President Donald Trump praise for fighting Joe Biden's, quote, runaway inflation?
Mary Miller, gotta be. Miller knows Biden is out of control.
Right, Jill. Next, who did Trump endorse for Congress?
Mary Miller. I know Trump backs Miller.
Correct. Miller has Trump's complete and total endorsement. Last question. Who is one of the very few Republicans in Congress to actually praise Joe Biden?
Who did that?
Rodney Davis.
So why would a Republican back Davis?
Good question. Because if you stand with Trump, Mary Miller is the right answer for Congress.
Paid for by Club for Growth Action, clubforgrowthaction.org, and not authorized by any candidate or candidates committee. Club for Growth Action is responsible for the content of this advertising.
Here is Nick Smith with your WSOY 3-day forecast.
Today's going to be sunny with a high near 68, and tonight mostly clear with a low of 49. Tuesday's partly sunny, high of 72, a chance of some nighttime rain, and Wednesday showers and possible thunderstorms, high near 76. Current temperature in downtown Decatur is 48 degrees. Your WSOY time is 6:33.
You're listening to Buyers & Company, streaming live at nowdecatur.com.
Well, I don't know why I came here tonight. We are back here on a Monday. I'm so scared in case I fall off my chair. Hope you're having a great start to your day. I got to ask you, you've been out west hunting a lot, and I was asking you during the break here about this story. People will make this story about Donald Trump Jr. Donald Trump Jr. isn't the story. He is, I guess, the victim, along with the bear that he killed and the cougar in 2018, May 18th and May 19th. The bear he killed on the 18th and a cougar on the 19th. But now the hunting guide that he was with in Utah is facing up to 5 years in jail for illegally baiting these animals by putting piles of grain and oil and pastries out to draw out the animals for the hunter. And Donald Trump Jr. was unaware of any of this. I mean, just hired the guy. I assume he thinks he's out there just doing what he's doing and, you know, kills a bear. The conservationists, I've been to Utah. They're very serious about, you know, keeping the land sort of pristine. And you think this happens all the time? And how would you know if you were a hunter?
I don't think it happens all the time, but I do know it happens.
Yeah.
And these guides, I would say I've done guided hunts. I bet I've done 25 of them.
Okay.
And I've only seen one instance where a guide acted improperly and got fired. I mean, when the owner of the outfitting camp found out that the guide did something wrong, these guides know that land. They know that land. They know, I wouldn't say they know where the animals are, but they got a good idea of when and where, because they've been out there for weeks, maybe months, watching that land for every group that comes in. And there becomes a routine or there becomes a group. So I wouldn't be surprised if this guy didn't see this bear more than once, knew the area it was in, and he wanted to get it for his, you know, they live on tips. And so if a wealthy guy's coming out there and these guides take great pride in getting the animals for their hunters, this guy overdid it. And I imagine he got in big trouble.
He's facing 5 years in prison trouble. So, yeah, he had evidently rangers or people, you know, identified the illegal bait and then discovered a trail camera pointed right at it with his initials on it. And also his telephone number. I'm quite sure why you'd put your telephone number on a camera, but so he got caught red-handed, you know, so I guess it's, I don't know, this stuff makes me really uncomfortable. The hunting part, not so much, but the idea of like just shooting fish in a barrel. I mean, I don't, what's hunting about that?
No, well, I don't know. There's nothing hunting about it. These trail cameras, it's amazing what they've done to get the big bucks. Because I've seen it. I guess it's legal, but they put them on trees and.
Well, no, the cameras aren't. But I mean, you know, you put this pile of stuff out there to attract it, and then put the camera on the pile of stuff out there to attract it.
But you could be sitting here having breakfast and see a big buck on your land.
Yeah.
Now you know there's a big buck there. So now this guy goes back and baits it. So when it's time for the hunt.
I saw it. I just thought, man, that's I don't know. I guess I have this romantic sense of hunting and hunters, you know, that they in themselves at their best are conservationists and realize the way the land works and all of that. Throwing the pastries out there just seems like, you know, I don't know if it's 5 years in jail.
You remember the movie The Deer Hunter?
Robert De Niro, Christopher Walken, John Savage, yes.
And how he stalked that buck for a long time. That's hunting.
Okay. I got the weekend's direct mail. This was all on Saturday.
It's the usual haul there.
You think you get the weekend off, right? There's a very pro Rodney Davis. Rodney's in front of the wall. I don't know when he did this photo op, but they're using a lot of that.
Is that from him or a pack?
That's a good question, Nick Smith. That's from the American Dream Federal Action Committee.
So that's his design looks clear. Like you could tell usually, except for these couple silly ones, what his looks like. He's been very consistent in his look. That looked different.
And then there is one from Sullivan for governor. I got one from Easter Sunday, I think, for him.
Yeah, that was I like that one.
It wasn't, you know.
I'm Catholic.
You're Catholic, so yeah, I get it. Overturn Roe, we cannot let Illinois, so this is kind of getting into the federal stuff here.
That is big and that's a very bold statement, like made very clear on one card from here.
It's coming out and saying, you know, exactly where he is. And then they've got this blurry, really blurry picture of Richard Irvin posing for a picture with a lady. I believe it's a lady. It's so blurry with a Together We Fight for All Planned Parenthood sign. And this Richard Irvin deserves this because Richard Irvin started this with a picture of Darren Bailey and a cupcake. Right. So, you know, whoever you pose with now in a picture, I think we're going to get to the point where candidates are going to be like rock stars where they're not going to pose for pictures.
Maybe.
Because now you're accountable for everybody you pose with a picture with.
You know, it's interesting.
But he deserves it because he's done the exact same thing.
I saw Jesse Sullivan Friday. He was here in town. We had our meeting greet, and I asked him what it's like. Has he ever run into Irvin? He says, yeah, he was at an editorial board meeting together with him up in Chicago. He says he doesn't have a problem with Bailey at all. He says, you know, it's just differences of points of view, but Irvin is very difficult to even try to have a conversation with, because you look at the guy and you see what he's done to my reputation and nothing but lies. It's hard to be civil when a guy has done and said such horrible things. And he says that, but you grunt and bear it, but it's very difficult.
Yeah, I don't know how any of them do anything. Now, this one is a Darren Bailey, paid for by Bailey for Illinois, anti-Richard Irvin ad. And he's looking into a mirror, kind of Pablo Escobar-like, with a donkey in the mirror.
That's kind of silly.
It's all silly, yeah. Right? Yeah. And then I got to tell you, when you get a piece of direct mail, and I'm really wondering who's sending direct mail, because I got a couple other pieces of direct mail in the middle of all of this, and I'm wondering if that's really a good use of your money at this point if you're not a politician.
Yeah, you're going to get that whole stack
sort of lumped
away.
Into the whole thing. And this is, okay, so this was sent to the buyer's family, whatever that means. And it is a state Senate candidate that I've never even heard of.
That is a huge piece of paper, too.
So I'm assuming this is going to be the way this is carved out, in my, voting area, my state senator, or could be my state senator.
Yep. I don't know who that is. But if from afar, that looks like an information sheet. Like, you don't know who I am. Here's what you need to know about me.
I get that, but I'm sitting here telling you we are weeks away from the primary. Early voting started last week, and I've never heard of Don DeBolt in my entire life.
I'm saying, like, it looks like he's trying to give you a one sheet. That's the first one that's meant to just give you what you need to know from here. I don't know that it holds true, but it looks like here's who I am.
Okay.
Well, don't you think these next 3 weeks you're going to be inundated with this? Direct mail, radio, and television. I mean, this.
But this guy lives in Stewardson, Illinois.
What's he run for Senate?
Yeah.
No, I don't know who he is. Is he running to be your senator?
Let me get my hand. Well, I assume that he's not just direct mailing, people that aren't in his district, right? Yes, he is. Okay, he's running against the other guy who's buying radio ads that I've never met. So he's Donald DeBolt, DeWolt, D-E-B-O-L-T, against Steve McClure. And you've heard the Steve McClure ads running, right? Both Republicans, one of Springfield, one of Stewartson, in the new Senate district, the 54th Senate district.
Oh.
Now, this guy's sending mail to my home. The other guy's buying ads on my radio station, and I've never met either one of them.
And they're your only two choices?
Well, evidently. I mean, I'm guessing based on getting the direct mail, right?
Right.
Don't get it. Are you welcoming these guys to come on the radio? Are you waiting until after the primaries?
No, we're basically booking, you know, people that contact us. I mean, we've had everybody else on. We've some of them we've had on multiple times. It's a weird. It's like they're saying, kind of in a way, this probably isn't fair. But what I take from this is how they'll govern from afar.
Yeah, maybe.
You've known over the years, Frank Watts and whoever it might be.
Saw Dwayne Nolan the other night.
Yeah, but they come
he's still the same way.
No, but they do the remap, and then you come into a district and you get to know people and you meet people. I mean, there was a sort of a way, right?
Well, yeah, you think of Watson, you think of Nolan, you think of Mike Tate. These guys really worked their districts. They knew the people in their districts.
I've gone through three of these redistrictings, you know, three of these, you know, 10-year period where they do the remapping and the census. And there was always like, okay, somebody like Dwayne Nolan would bring Frank Watson in and go, okay, here's going to be the new guy. And he'd meet so-and-so and go to the community leader's breakfast and do like whatever. Now it's like, we'll buy radio ads, we'll send you direct mail, but we're not going to actually bother to like sort of know anybody.
Yeah, look at Julie Curry and Penny Severance. They were
from here, so I mean they were already known. But I guarantee you, they went to the other areas in their district and did that, right?
Right, and they were members of every association around, so they could get to know what's going on.
Not anymore.
I think Tim Butler has a little bit of our area. I've seen him.
Tim Butler's got a tiny fraction. Where did you see him?
Yeah, Doherty's one afternoon.
Yeah?
He was in town for something. We had a Diet Coke together.
would J.B. Pritzker, being the incumbent and this being a primary that he probably won't feel much, does he need to campaign right now?
No.
I mean, he can run ads and stuff, but he doesn't need to do anything,
he's
right?
He's running ads just to tamp down the other side. I don't, right. You know, there's nothing he needs to worry about on his end, I mean, as far
he's
as the primary is
dry.
Concerned. Yeah. But that's governor of an entire state.
Right,
this is a Senate district that's relatively small.
Again, with Pritzker, when the general election comes, he'll have to campaign, right?
Oh, my God, yes.
That's what I thought.
Yeah. All right, did you do the Heartland Lincoln Road Ride thing on Saturday? It was pouring down rain. I didn't go. I was going to go earlier before graduation. They had all those old like Model Ts and stuff out there at the Milliken Homestead. Which I thought would have been very cool, but it was just, I mean, the rain was coming down heavy.
Yeah, we got washed out. I got the text at 5 a.m. for cars and coffee, and then around that time I was waiting for the sun to crack so I could go take photos,
and
it just didn't. So I don't even know if it went on. I hope I get another opportunity to see those cars.
I do too. I really...
And go be inside the homestead and stuff like that.
Exactly. I felt bad, but I was like, you know what? I'm not going to go out in the pouring down rain, and they're probably not even having it because those old cars are probably not waterproof.
Right. Yeah, and you don't want to traipse all that and be in with a bunch of wet people inside that homestead. It just wasn't ideal.
That's too bad. They put so much effort into him.
I know. I feel terrible. I don't feel terrible for Joe Santella and Nate Bryant. They won the $100,000 mega raffle ticket drawing on Friday night.
Good for them.
Steven and Susan Rahill won the $10,000 prize. Bill Lehman won $5,000. And I saw Brian Burcham's name on the list for $1,000. And I'm sure...
And there was another Ray Hill pick, too. Ray Hills were the family of the night.
Were they the family?
Yeah,
of the
they
night?
Got a couple draws.
That's a great family.
Yeah. Carol and Dave got $250.
She's a former teacher there.
Yeah, there you go. I didn't win a thing.
I didn't either.
And I don't ever win a thing. I don't think I've ever won a thing.
You win stuff all the time.
I meant in the mega raffle in all the years. I don't think I might have won $100 one year, maybe.
Me too.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you always think you're going to, though.
Yeah.
I have a customer in Danville who literally hands me five $100 bills. He knows when this mega raffle's coming before I do. He loves it.
I did hear your name called because you sold somebody a ticket.
Uh-huh.
Yeah,
well,
and they won. They won a big one.
Really?
Yeah, one of the five. They said, because they'll say what school or whatever, who the salesperson. I heard your name as a salesperson.
Oh, good. Maybe it was him.
I don't know.
Well, he's been giving me $500 in cash for 10 years, so he deserves to win. His name's Dan Ribby.
You won $1,000.
Did he really?
Yes.
All right.
He was sixth out of the top 10.
You know what he does? He buys it for his office staff.
Yeah.
So he'll take that $1,000 and divvy it up amongst about four people.
Well, good for him. All right. We'll take a break. Kevin Verhaeghe's in. We will preview Soy City Buzz on First Mid Mondays. And they got some interesting stuff coming up tonight. And we'll get to that PGA Championship. What a crazy end that was. Man, I felt so bad for that kid. I know they're...
Oh, who double bogeyed on the
18th? Triple bogeyed.
Triple bogeyed.
No, you're right. No, it was a double bogey. He had a one-stroke lead on 18 and double bogeyed to not even get into the playoff. And Justin Thomas ends up winning the PGA Championship in Tulsa, Oklahoma, where they had intense heat the first 2 to 3 days and then cold. I mean, they had everything out there.
That was a tough course.
Yeah, it is. That 18 is a monster. We'll be back with more right after this. Stay tuned.
Shane Mendenhall is your conservative candidate for Macon County Circuit Judge. Motivated by his family and his faith, Shane Mendenhall is committed to making Macon County a safe community. Shane Mendenhall is qualified, experienced, and will lead with integrity. It's time to restore justice in our community.
I'm Shane Mendenhall, your Republican candidate for Macon County Circuit Judge. I'm asking for your support, your prayers, and your vote on June 28th.
Paid for by Mendenhall for Circuit Judge.
The Beach House, now open for lunch. Stop it and enjoy seafood, steak, wine, cocktails, salads, sandwiches, drinks, and high-quality food. The Beach House is ready for you. Enjoy an amazing lunch or dinner overlooking beautiful Lake Decatur. You won't find a better atmosphere, view, staff, or food. The Beach House, located at 2301 East Lakeshore Drive, overlooking beautiful Lake Decatur. Stop in for lunch and see why everyone loves the Beach House.
If you have ever thought about remodeling your bathroom but were worried it would take too long or cost too much, then stop worrying. Right now, Jacuzzi Bath Remodel has designed a collection of high-quality custom products and perfected the one-day remodeling experience so you can enjoy your new bathroom faster than ever before. It's a worry-free bath remodel from the most trusted brand name in the business, Jacuzzi. For a virtual or in-home appointment, call 800-826-9895. That's 800-826-9895. 800-826-9895.
Has your family outgrown your home? Maybe you're looking to downsize. Whatever your reason for making a change, there's no better time than the present to sell your home. Low housing inventory means less competition and potentially more money for your home. What about finding your next home? Low interest rates means more home for your money. What are you waiting for? Don't miss this favorable market and unique opportunity to sell your home. Get more attention, more exposure, and make bigger impact when you list with Brinkotter. Visit us at Brinkotter.com or call your Brinkotter agent today.
You're listening to Byers & Company, streaming live at NowDecatur.com.
We are back here on a Monday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. What a beautiful start it is. Just gorgeous out there on this Monday morning. Beautiful day yesterday, right? And I'll take it. 2-3 days. Can we string those together? No rain? No wind? All right, coming up tonight at 5 o'clock, you've got an interesting show tonight. You're going to be visiting with, of course, Mike Claiborne. Now, do you guys just talk Cardinals, or do you guys do sports in general?
No, Mike is quite. We talked Blues last. We didn't get to Cardinals last.
Well, he's a professional broadcaster.
Yeah, he really knows his stuff, yeah. And he has a podcast himself with Joe West, and they had Mark Grace on, and he talked about Mark Grace, who's a former Cub, like they're best friends, which they might be. I think he's got friends everywhere. And he says, largely due to Mike Shannon, he says, Mike Shannon's the perfect guest around the country. Everybody invites Mike Shannon to go somewhere in every city, and Mike used to take him along with him. And he got to meet, he's widely known throughout the country.
No doubt. And then you guys also have Airport Fun Day. I got a, Mark sent me this information. You jumped all over it, and you're going to have Tim Wright, the director of the airport. And you say EEA rep. I don't know what that is.
Well, she's not going to make it.
I'm sorry.
Jean Camden. But Mark Birch is a really good guy. He's an iron worker here in town. I have every major building. And he let me know that he, when we were talking about Richland last week, that he actually helped build Richland
yep.
and the Devon. Anyway, Mark's daughter went to an airport fun day when she was a little kid. And now she's an accomplished aviator. And it's all because of the airport fun day. And so he wants us to promote this. And I think it's a great thing to promote. And then at 5:30, we'll donate or dedicate a half hour to Amber Oberheim and Huey Freeman, who's writing a book on the Oberheim family. It's been about a year now, Brian, since Chris was murdered in Champaign.
Hard to believe that's a year ago. Yeah.
He was a Decatur police officer, then a Champaign police officer, and he got killed on duty. And I was at that funeral here in Decatur when Amber got up, first time I ever seen her in my life. And, you know, at a very difficult time, she vowed she was going to advocate on behalf of police as her point. And she's an accomplished physician's assistant. And I don't know that she's ever gone back to work. She has got this passion to make the general public know how under siege the police officers are right now. And she's doing a pretty good job. She's got a foundation that we're going to talk about. And, I really have great respect for her, and she walks her talk.
All right. Well, that's tonight at 5 o'clock. You can listen live. You can also get the podcast at nowdecatur.com. It's interesting as we head into the primary and then the general election. In some of these races, the primary is everything. You know, the Roddy Davis, Mary Miller race, right? I mean, that's it. Whoever wins that is going to Congress in the fall. Some races, as Nick mentioned earlier, you know, the governor's race, you know, you got the primary battle now, but then you're going to have, you know, the general election. We got all these new names and all these new faces. I was kind of interested. You can hear the podcast if you want on nowdecatur.com. We had Macon County Sheriff Jim Root in the studios on Friday. And Rodney had 18 current and former sheriffs in this district endorse him on, I believe it was Thursday afternoon, including past sheriffs Schneider and
Jim Getz.
No,
he's not a sheriff.
Jim would be a police chief, a former police chief, Jerry Dawson. And Jim said he was staying out of it, which is what Dan Calkins has said, which is what everybody. And isn't staying out of it mean that you're actually supporting Mary Miller?
Probably.
I mean, that's not what they're saying, but by saying I'm staying out of it and saying I'm not going to endorse or be with the guy who's been here over a dozen years supporting our community, it really means I'm kind of in Mary Miller's back pocket.
Well, I don't want to speak for him, but
no, I mean, but Dan Calkins, all of them, right? I mean, that's
I mean, if you look at Jerry and you look at Tom Snyder, they're both Democrats, and if they are supporting Rodney Davis, that must mean Rodney did something with the sheriff's department, helped the sheriff's department while they were sheriffs. So they're paying back by endorsing him as a thank you. Well, and why wouldn't I don't know why any sheriff that benefited from Rodney's efforts wouldn't do the same.
What do you think happens? Let's fast forward past the primary. Let's look at this from two different directions. If Rodney Davis wins the primary and then is going back to Congress, what does this mean for Dan Calkins, for Jim Root, for Chapin Rose, for these people who wanted to sort of tap dance around this whole thing? What does it mean for them then?
There will be no love lost.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't. I'd be offended right now if I was Rodney.
Well, and then in exchange, what does it do for their constituency? Because if Mary Miller gets elected, she's not going to do anything for the constituency because she openly brags about not bringing home any earmarks to her district. I mean, I don't know what you're going to get out of her if she wins, but what do you not get out of Rodney if he wins?
I don't know, but of all people, Rodney Davis is about the most even-handed guy I know in politics, he'll probably not forget this, but he's not vindictive. I don't find him vindictive. If it's good for the community, I think he'll do it for the community despite them. But if he has choices, and one choice is as good as the other, I think human nature takes over. You go to the choice that doesn't exactly help them.
Think, right? That is human nature.
Right. Well, I mean, I find it insulting that he hasn't been endorsed by Dan and Chapin.
Yeah.
I just do.
Here's the thing. You always thought something about Chapin, or at least saw something in Chapin I didn't see. I've never been a fan of that guy.
Well, I like him. I like Dan. But I don't understand
Chapin
what they're doing
is in for Chapin. That's it. That's all Chapin. I was told that by Bill Mitchell the day he walked into our district, that this guy will always be the guy who is just in it for himself, period. And so his district changes. He just goes... later Decatur, wasn't ever actually here to begin with. So anything he does, I've always been in his own best interest. Just my personal opinion.
Well, I think 80% of them were that way.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe not.
He felt especially that way to me. Dan is just squirrely and has been from the get-go and all over the place. And so
Dan's well-liked. Huh? I mean, there's a lot of people in this community that... Because Dan, one thing you can say for him, he's all over the place. He does engage.
Engage, and he's all over the place. What does he do being in the super minority of the super minority and now doing their own super minority caucus? You can talk all day, but what does he do? What does he have the power to do? What clout does he have? None.
Well, I know, but that's not his fault. That's Republicans' fault. They're in the minority forever. I mean, I don't see them ever getting out of that hole.
Not if they keep running people like Dan and Chapin. No, you're right.
Well, you have stronger feelings negatively against them than I do. But
why did they jump in Mary Miller's back pocket?
I thought that was the wrong thing to do. I think it's wrong that Trump backed her.
Trump. That's what the Republican Party is.
I feel bad about Rodney is not getting what he deserves.
Right. And why isn't he? Because this is what the Republican Party is doing to itself.
It's a calculus they're playing that they think she's got a better chance, I guess. I don't understand their calculus.
I don't agree with it. I don't either. We'll see what happens. So, a couple of weeks out. Kev, have a great show tonight. We look forward to seeing you at 5 o'clock. Kevin Berhaney. And First Mid-Mondays. You can check it out live at 5 or get the podcast at nauticator.com.
You've been listening to the Newhoff Media Podcast Network. For more, visit newhoffmedia.com.